Ephesians chapter 6 and reading from verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, have you ever had your mum and dad, your mum or your dad, perhaps if you're older, this was years and years ago, if you're younger, maybe it was today. Have you ever heard them say to you, "You don't listen to a word I say"? Have they ever said that? Have they ever had reason to say that? "You're not listening to me." Have they ever said that? And you say, "Well, actually, I have listened to you. I just haven't done what you said. I didn't do it." Well, that's not obedience, is it? Children, obey your parents. If you listen, supposedly, but you don't do, that's not obeying your parents, is it? What about this one? Have you had your mum or your dad say to you, "You have not done what I said"? And you get all sort of shy and defensive and you say, I have done it, look, I've done it." And they look, and the plates that you were asked to wash, they're in the rack for drying, but they're still very dirty. They've kind of been chucked in the water, and a sponge or a cloth has gone over them a little bit, but there's still eggy yuck on them. They're not really clean. So you say, "Well, I've done it, but you haven't done it properly." Well, that's not obedience either, is it? That's not obedience. Or they've asked you to do something, and you're doing it, so you're being obedient, but all they can hear is bang, crash, wallop. And if they put their ear to the door, they hear your voice going, "Rustle, fussle, bustle, rustle, rustle." Like that. So you've maybe done what they've asked. You've maybe done it properly. You've maybe been obedient, but you're not really honouring your father and mother. Children, obey your parents. Honour your father and mother. You see, you can do all that you're asked, you can do it well, but if you're angry and you're going rustle, fussle, bustle about doing it, that's not honouring to your parents. So what I want to look at this morning is I want to look at what it means to obey and to honour your parents. And I want to look at why this is right. Why it's the right thing to do to obey and honour your parents. And then I want to finish briefly by looking at how it is that such a child who does that will be rewarded. And we might add as well, older people be rewarded. Because older people are still to honour their parents. If not necessarily obey, we're still to honour our father and our mother, whatever age we are. So let's first of all look at these words. Look at it there in chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother. So we're going to look at obey and honour. So let's think first of all about obey. To obey. To obey your parents. Now, the Bible, you may know, was written in Hebrew and Greek. And this book would have been written, Ephesians would have been written in Greek. And the Greek word that we have as obey, the Greek word means to listen. To listen. So children, listen to your parents. Listen. When I was at college, learning, studying, when I was at university as well, I was always told that if you sit like this, it looks like you're not really following what's being said. It looks like you're having to hold your head up, that if you don't have that head there, you'll be like this and asleep. Whereas if you sit like this, it looks like you're... Pensive is the word. Pensive. That means you're in deep thoughts. Big word, pensive, but it means deeply in thought and thinking about what you're saying. I'm doing this. I'm bored. But I'm doing this. So therefore, I'm interested. See, that's how you ought to be as a child. You ought to be like that. Not like that. To be like that. You're listening. You're interested in what they're saying. This is important, and I need to listen to it. Children are to listen carefully to their parents' instruction. Not have the headphones on with loud music when your dad or your mum is saying, you've got to turn the, or pull, take the earphones off so you can hear, haven't you? And you hear what they're saying. I want you to tidy your bedroom. But it's clear that this word obey, because even if we're very young, we've probably heard the word obey, and it means more than just to listen, even to listen carefully. It means more than that. And what I'd like us to do is to turn to Matthew chapter 8, because if we turn to Matthew chapter 8, we'll get the fuller idea of what the word obey means with Jesus and his disciples. So let's turn to Matthew 8. And there's a storm. And it's in verse 23. There is a storm. They get into the boat. Well, Jesus gets into the boat and his disciples followed him. Verse 24. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. It's very dangerous, very frightening. And these are fishermen and they're frightened. But Jesus, he's asleep. Look, Jesus was sleeping. Verse 25, the disciples went and woke him up saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. Jesus replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then listen to what he did. Then he got up, rebuked, that means he told them off, he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The storm's over. And here's our bit. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. The winds and the waves obey him. Now, I don't know whether the wind or the waves can hear and understand what Jesus says. That's not important for us here. What's important for us is that the wind and the waves do what Jesus says. Jesus commands them to be still, to be quiet, and they do it. They do it. And the disciples see that. They see that the wind and the waves have been told off by Jesus, and they've listened. How do they know they've listened? Because they do it. They do what Jesus says. So, for us, to obey means to listen and then to do. To listen and to do. Therefore, children are to listen and do what their parents say. Children, obey your parents. Listen and do what your parents say. But of course there's more, because we've got that other word, honour. Honour. Children, obey your parents. Children, honour your parents. We might put them together and say, children, obey and honour your parents. So what does it mean to honour? Yeah, look, thoughtful. Not... What does it mean to honour? What does it mean to honour your parents? Well, again, let's think of the Greek word. And the Greek word meant to value at a price. To value at a price. That can mean fix a price. Put a price on something. How much will you give me for my car? Not a lot at the moment, perhaps, but... All right, how much? You want to buy my house? How much? Let's agree a price. Well, that doesn't really happen that way, does it? Because you have all these people called estate agents, and we were talking about that yesterday, weren't we? Buying houses and things. But if you want to sell something, and someone wants to buy it, they say, how much do you want for it? And you say, I want £20. And they say, it's not worth £20, I'll give you £10. And you say, no, I want more than £10. How about 15? And they say, okay, done. And you shake hands on it. And you've fixed a price. You've agreed a price. Now, there's a horrible example of that in the Bible. Yeah, it is horrible. A really horrible example of that in the Bible, and that is where Judas, remember Judas? Where Judas betrays the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to the people, that is the chief priests, and they're the baddies really, he says to them, how much will you give me if I hand Jesus over to you? And the chief priests say, we will give you 30 pieces of silver. Judas agrees. Shakes hands on it, as it were. They fix a price. It's the same word as honour, believe it or not. They fix a price. I can give you one example from it. Matthew 27, verse 9. 30 silver coins. That was the price, and it says the price set on him by the people of Israel. That means the same word as we've got here as honour. It's setting a price, agreeing a price. Now, we've got that sorted out then. To honour your parents means to sell them at a price. How much will you sell your mum and dad for? How much? A lot of money? Or just a little bit of money? How much? Well, I hope that you would say, I wouldn't sell them even if you offered me the whole world. To which I say, why wouldn't you sell them? You wouldn't sell me, would you? Why wouldn't you sell me? Why wouldn't you sell me, son? Why wouldn't you sell me, daughter? And you say, well, because you're valuable. You're precious. You're priceless. That's what a child should say. And you see, honour means to value at a price. We've already thought about the price, setting a price. That's one use. Well, I'll give you £20 and so on. But the other side to the coin is that you have a value on it, a high price. Something is precious, of great value. So to honour your father and your mother is to hold them as precious, as to hold them as special in your heart. You cannot fix a price on them because they're so valuable, they're so special to you, precious to you. Therefore, to honour and to obey your parents is not as you do things, but it's to want to do what pleases them. That's the idea. You listen carefully. You do it, but you do it with a willing heart because you want to please them. You're happy to do it for them. Put them together again. To obey and to honour is to listen carefully so as you can do what you're asked willingly and happily. So that's those two words, honour and obey. We've ticked that, we've all got that. We all do that, don't we? When we were young, did we all do that with our parents? Do we still honour them today? When we're young, and as we're young, if we're young rather, are we obeying and honouring our parents? as the Bible says we should. Let's look secondly at why it is right. Why it is right. And the first thing we can say, why it is right, look, it says it here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So why is it right? Why is it right? And the first thing to say is that, well, actually, it's the way of the whole world. It's the way it's done. It's the way it's always been done. You go anywhere in the world where there are people, where there are families, and what you find is that children are taught, or should be taught, to obey and to honour their parents. Imagine a world where children ruled. What kind of world would that be like, do you think, if children ruled the world? What would the supermarkets be filled with? Supermarkets would be filled with sweets and toys. If it was young children, really young children, wouldn't it? Supermarkets filled with sweets and toys. Vegetables, well, certain ones would be banned. No more parsnips, rotten parsnips as we used to call them when I was little. No more sweet. No more turnips. Boiled cabbage. And Brussels sprouts at Christmas. What spoils Christmas Day for some is you've got to eat your Brussels sprouts before you can have pudding. Children rule the world. There's no Brussels sprouts. How about that? Would you like that? No Brussels sprouts. How about this? Children rule the world. You say to your mum and dad, I'm going to bed when I want to go to bed. Not when you tell me. And tonight, I'm going to stay up all night. Just because I can. Just because I rule. Children rule, okay. What would happen? What would happen if parents gave children everything they wanted, whenever they wanted it? Does seem to happen in some households these days, but, you know, leaving that aside, what would happen? This is what would happen. Young people like you would grow up to be very, very selfish. Very selfish. And the world would not be a very happy place because all the young people as they grew up would have been, well, we're spoiled by sin anyway, but would be spoiled even more because everyone would be very self-centred, very selfish. Me first. Be a nasty world. It's a nasty world as it is, but it would be even worse. It's that way for a reason. It's the way it is for a reason. And the reason is this, that actually, despite what you may think, your father and your mother know better. At least they should know better. Parents should know better. Why should they know better? Why do you think they should know better? Give me a reason why they should know better. Why do you think they should know better? What do you think? I would say they should know better because, well, they've lived quite a bit of life already. So they've understood the way things are. They've got experience. They've probably made mistakes, but they've also had mums and dads who've guided them. There's a big word, nurtured. Guided them, helped them to develop, helped them to grow, showed them the right way. There's lots of verses in particularly Proverbs about raising children. We won't look at them today, but lots of verses about that. And so parents should be wiser. So they know it's best that you go to bed at an early time and things like that. The problem we have today, of course, is that many children are treated like little gods. That's the world we live in, isn't it? And they are given all their wants. And society seems to pamper to children and put them, you know, at the very head, as it were. But there's a more important reason. And the more important reason why this is right for children to obey and to honour their parents is because, what do you think? What do you think, Abby? Why is it, what's the more important reason? Don't let Josh tell you. What do you think the most important reason is? Pardon? I said it. What did he say? Because the Bible says so. Yeah. the Bible says so. That's the reason, isn't it? The Bible says so. Now, if we believe the Bible to be the Word of God, then we're not to question it, are we? We're to ask questions of it and to examine it to try and understand it, but we're not to question it and put ourselves above it and say, I'm not accepting that because I don't like that. No, we're to obey it because it's the Word of God. We're not to doubt or ignore it, but to obey. And so when Paul writes this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, he goes on to quote, look at verse 2, honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. That is one of the Ten Commandments. Honour your father and your mother. We might turn to it. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, look, the Ten Commandments. You have four commandments. And then the fifth commandment there says in verse 12, honour your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving. See, it's a command that's given, and there's a promise attached to it. You honour your father and your mother, you'll live long in the land your Lord, the Lord your God is giving you. We'll look at that promise in a while. But it's there, it's a command of God. So if we rustle, fussle, bustle when we're asked to do something, if we object, if we get headstrong and say, I'm not doing that, if we don't listen, how are we honouring our father and our mother? And if we're not honouring our father and our mother, therefore we're not honouring the Lord, because the Lord gave us that command. And actually, when you're very young, when you're, say, Hannah's age, when you're very young, your father and your mother should be the very voice of God to you. In other words, their duty is to understand enough about the Bible to teach you in the way that you should go. And so therefore, when they're teaching you from the Bible, what are they doing? They're teaching you God's truth. And you are told to honour your father and your mother by obeying what they teach you, by obeying what they say. And they're acting as God's voice to you. Now, as an aside, come back to Ephesians 6. These words, let me read them again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you. That's under threat today. That's under threat like it hasn't been for many generations. I take you to Scotland. And if you think in Scotland, what is going on there? Let me quote you from the newspaper called The Scotsman. And this is about what they have, what they're putting through their parliament up there, about a named person, a scheme wherein every child has a named person who will oversee their growth into adulthood. And this named person is superior to the father and the mother. Listen to this. This was when children were being presented with this in a school situation. Children were told, and I quote from The Scotsman, children were told all the adults in their lives, all the adults, no special mention of parents, but all the adults were gardeners. Children were encouraged to think about gardening. They'd been thinking about planting and growing, and they were using this as an example to say, look, you know, you have adults in your life. They're gardeners helping you to grow, helping you to develop. That was the idea. All the adults in their lives were gardeners, including the parents, though it doesn't say that. While the named person would have overarching responsibility and be considered head gardener. So if you're a mum or a dad in Scotland, you will be a gardener to your children, and someone you may or may not know will be the head gardener. That's how it's going in Scotland. That is opposed to this, as it's written in the Word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and you may enjoy long life on the earth. Leaving that aside, that's something to ponder. When a child obeys from the heart their father or their mother, they are obeying the command of God. Because God has put them there. Despite what people in Scotland may or may not say, God has put them there as the voice of God to you. So when you obey them, you're obeying God. When you disobey them, you're disobeying God. And when you do what they say but you rustle fussle, you're still breaking the command of God to honour your father and your mother. Now here's an interesting point to bring the gospel to us. You know, you say to some people, so you're telling me you've never sinned? And they say, no, I've never sinned. I'm a good person, me. And you say, well, you never told a lie? No, I never told a lie. And you want to say, well, you just have and whatever. But you know, they say they've never sinned. Really? Really? I'm utterly convinced that every single child, and we've all been children, and some of us still are, every single person, when they're a child, and every single child, as a child, breaks that command. I've never known a child to truly, fully, 100% honour and obey their parents. We're little rebels. We're little sinners. Whether we're young, whether we're old, we all break that command. And if you deny it, what? You've never been told to do something? Let me give you an example. It's time for bed. Or it's time to go to church in some cases. All the reasons why it's not the time for what you're told it's the time for. But what does the parent want? The parent who said it's time for whatever it's time for, what they want is you to obey them, to listen, and to do what they say, but also to do it happily. That's what they want, isn't it? When you... What have you done? You've not honoured and obeyed them, have you? Therefore you broke the command of God. You broke the command of God. How do you mend something that is broken? How do you mend something when you've broken it? When I was a boy, about 11 years old, I decided that the towel rail in our bathroom would be good to use as a monkey bar, to kind of do some pull-ups on it. So I went to do my pull-ups on the towel rail in the bathroom. Do you know what happened? I ended up on my backside, and the towel rail was on top of me. I broke it. I snapped it. I thought, oh, well, never mind, I'll get some super glue. I know where there's some super glue. So I got some super glue, and I tried to mend it with super glue, and it kind of held enough just to put one light towel over it, and I thought, oh, that'll be all right. And I left it at that. But it wasn't all right. I hadn't mended it. And a couple of days later, I was summoned by my father. What were you doing in the bathroom? I was swinging on the towel rail in the bathroom. You've broken it! And now we need a new one. Can't be fixed. It's broken. When we break one of the commands of God, we break it forever. It can't be fixed. You can't fix it. You can't pretend you've mended it and think, oh, well, it doesn't matter. You can't just put it out of my mind. I've put more bad things out of my mind than you've done good things. And that's probably not the right way to say it either. I put more bad things out of my mind than you've done bad things.
Here you are. Because I'm a pretty bad person, really.
I've forgotten so much of the bad that I've done. But God sees it all. God hears it all. And God knows the secret things of your heart. And even though you think, no one will ever know, He knows. He knows. Not now just that one command, but think of all of God's ways. All the ways in which we've broken His commands. He sees our hearts. Listen to this. Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point. I've kept 9 commandments. Oh, but there's 10. You haven't kept 10? Well, no, you've shown me that actually I was quite rude to my parents when I was little. I didn't honour them. So I've broken that command, but I kept all the others. Listen to what the Bible says. Whoever keeps the whole law, 9 out of 10, and yet stumbles at just one point, you see, broken one of them, 9 out of 10, is guilty of breaking all of it. The whole lot. So therefore we're in big trouble, aren't we? Big, big trouble. And sin reigns in all of our hearts. Here's another use of the word obey. Listen to this. This is in Romans. Paul says, he's speaking to Christians, but Christians still have a problem with this. He's saying, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Sin calls to you. Sin talks to you. Oh, we listen to that. We listen to sin. Oh, I'll take my headphones off. It's sin. I delight in these things. So we take our headphones off. We'll listen to that. And it says, do this, do this. Go on. Stolen water is sweet. Oh, it's lovely. And you say, yeah, great. And so you run with it. You do that. You honour and obey sin. But that makes you an enemy of God. And the Bible tells us that one day we have to stand before God for all the times we've not honoured and obeyed our parents, for all the times we've broken many of the other, indeed all of the other commandments of God. But you see, come back to our passage. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. And those three words, in the Lord, are exciting. Because that tells us, we can be in Christ. Jesus Christ can be our Saviour, can be your Saviour, as well as can be my Saviour. In the Lord. Children, if you're in Christ, obey your parents. Children, in Christ, obey your parents. Honour them. It tells us more than that, these words in the Lord. And this is a bit harder to understand, but it tells us this, that actually to obey your parents, you must be in the Lord. Otherwise, your obedience is not real. It's not really real. Because you'll be saying something like, if I obey, I can be saved. I can be saved. If I obey, well, I've kept that commandment, tick, done that. But you can't. You can't. Because we've already seen that once you've broken it once, well, you can't mend it. You can't put it right. You can't fix it. You can't even by 99 times out of 100 honouring and obeying your parents, make up for the one time you went, rah! You can't do it. Therefore, we need a Saviour. We need a Saviour to fix what is broken. And what is broken is God's law. That's what every one of us have done, is broken God's law. Jesus can fix. He is the super. I'm not going to say glue. He's a super Saviour who can undo all the bad things that we've done. Can put them right. Can actually put us together again. The Bible says that anyone who comes to Jesus in the Lord becomes a new person, a new creation. There's a new you, a new you and you that loves God, and a you that can begin to honour and obey your parents. Because when you struggle, you can go to God and say, Lord, please help me. Help me with this. I guess, Mum, I guess Dad's probably right. I'm struggling with it though. I don't want to do it. Help me, Lord. And he gives grace to help us in those times of need. Therefore, however young we are, or however old we are, we need Jesus. We must ask him to come and to live in our hearts. Then, in the Lord, we can obey our parents. But you know, those words in the Lord, there's another even harder meaning to those words in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Listen to this. If you are a Christian and you are, let's say, under the age of 18, because we think in our land at the age of 18 you can vote, you're considered in every way an adult, but under 18, you know, you're still under the care and responsibility of your father and your mother. So when you're under 18 and you're a Christian, and even when you are over 18 and you're a Christian, if your father or your mother was to say to you, you mustn't pray to God, would you be right to do that? Children, obey your parents. Listen to them. Do what they say. That's what I've been saying. Honour them. Do it happily. But I want to pray. I don't want you praying to God. I don't believe in God, says the parent. You're not to do it. If I catch you doing that, I'll give you a good thrashing. What are you to say? I don't think there's anyone here who has that problem, thankfully. But what you're actually to say is, no, I'm not prepared to do that. You might be wise and just keep quiet about it and carry on praying. But if they push you to it, then you have to say, I'm sorry. Honour your parents. Obey your parents in the Lord. All the while they are following God's ways, we're to obey when we're minor. We're to honour always. But we're only to obey them as far as they themselves are teaching and following and seeking to live in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. So it would be wrong for a child to steal because their parents say, go and steal that apple. That would be wrong, wouldn't it? Because that goes against the word of God. What I want to say is actually, parents, the Scotsman is right. Parents are gardeners. They are the ones who are there to nurture their children. But it isn't a doctor, it isn't a teacher, it isn't a nurse, it isn't a care worker who's the head gardener. It's God. He's the head gardener. And he's the one who has the overall rule of our lives. Father, mother, and child. So we honour our parents. We obey our parents as they honour and obey Almighty God. Now, thirdly and finally and briefly, the reward for obedience. It says here, doesn't it? That it may go well with you. Honour your father and mother, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And the first thing to say is that actually, as a child, when I was a child, I used to get great pleasure out of doing things that pleased my parents. Not all the time. I was a rebel and a naughty boy and all the rest of it. But there were times when I really wanted to do things to please them. And one time, they were out, and I decided that the roots of the shed in the garden needed to be changed. And that there should be a pathway leading up to it. So I dug up all the grass and much of the soil, and I got some slabs that I'd found, and I put them down, and I was in the process of getting some shingle and other such things to put round it and make it all look nice. When they came back, do you think they were pleased? Actually, they were. Well, they made out they were. I don't know if they were or not. But, you know, digging up someone's garden is not necessarily the best thing. But I did it for them. I had no thought in my mind of they wouldn't like this. And actually, in the wintertime, if you had to get something out of the shed, it could be a bit muddy there. So I thought it was a good idea. Now, whether they truly thought it was a good idea and agreed with me or not, I don't know. I think they did. But what pleased them more than anything is they could tell I did that for them. I did that for them because I love them. And I wanted to show them that love. They were precious to me. I valued them. They didn't tell me to do it. I wasn't obeying. I was just doing something out of love for them. And you see, when we obey, and when we go the extra mile, we do things to help, put ourselves out for, well, for one another ultimately now, but thinking especially of parents, we put ourselves out for our parents. They're pleased, aren't they? They're delighted by it. And it's often said that the child who comes up to his mum or dad and says, I've drawn this for you, and there's a drawing, it's just a scribble on there. You know, it touches their heart because you've done it for them. In years to come, it will be a Rembrandt, yes, but for now, it's just a scribble. But it's special. It's precious to the parent. So when you're a child and you honour your parent, you treat them as precious and special, you delight their hearts. Now, how much more their gardeners, God's the head gardener, how much more does it delight our Father in heaven to see us doing things like that? And how much more does it delight our Father in heaven when ultimately we seek to do things to glorify Him? That's what we were created for. What this verse is saying in terms of promises, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. It's saying that if you follow the godly advice of your father and your mother, you will avoid many dangers. Turn it on its head, there's a proverb for parents: train a child in the way they should go, and when they're older, they will not depart from it. So you put them on the right path, and when they slip off it, when they go to run off it, you gently, sometimes quite, perhaps more sternly, firmly, you reinforce the path, you keep them on the path, and you train them on that path so that when they're older, it's second nature to them. And by going on that path, you avoid many dangers, many pitfalls. I fell into many swamps because, well, I don't want to talk about what my family was or wasn't, but I wasn't guided, as it were, to stay on that path. At least where I was, I rebelled against it. My rebellion was sufficient to cause me to leave the path and go into all manner of things, into all manner of dangers. And part of the promise here is that if you obey your parents and honour your parents, you'll be spared all that. You think of the prodigal son in the Bible, the son who said, give me my riches, I want to go and have a good time. And his father divides up the monies and gives his son his share of the family estate, all the money they've got. And the son goes off, and what does he do? Well, he leaves the straight path. He leads the good way. He goes off into all sorts of things. And he ends up in many dangers. And it's only by the grace of God that he's saved from that, that he can come back home again. And only because of the love of his father that he's accepted back into the household. If you think of it in this way, the land, because that's what part of the blessing is in the commandment, that the land that they live in, they'll be blessed. And if you think of it this way, in a country, in a nation where there is a fear of God, in a country, in a nation where children are raised up in a godly way, you're going to find that the land itself is much safer. The land itself is much better. The land itself is not given over to the godless ways that our land is today. Because people don't want to do that sort of thing. They've been steered in the right way. So they're spared many dangers. You just think of a life of wild living, as the Bible calls it with that prodigal son. Wild living, life is fraught with all manner of dangers. From the person who is foolish, passes their driving test, and they know sooner they passed it, young and headstrong and going my own way, I want to race, even though their father has said, don't do that sort of thing. Keep within the speed limit. They race. And what do? They go straight head first into the bridge of the train station. A friend of mine, really close friend of mine, his brother. It's what happened to him at the age of 17, because he was headstrong. That's wayward living, isn't it? He was killed instantly. End of life. The wild living of drugs, the wild living of sex, the wild living of alcohol, the wild living of all these things, and crime, and you can think of all the people that you can meet within this world who will lead you into all manner of vice and sin. And how many of them, through that corruption, end up in situations where their life is taken at a young age, through violence, through illness, through disease, through danger, all manner of things. The child who obeys their parents is spared all that. Now you might say, well, I object, I see what you're saying there, but actually I know many godless people, many people who are quite wild in their lives, and they live far longer. Far longer than saints. But the promise is this, that it may go well with you. I can't deny that's true, that many Christian people die young and many godless people die at a high age. But what it says here is that it may go well with you. And the question I would put is this, that godless person, yes, okay, they've done this, they've done that, they've been involved in every kind of vice and crime and they've laughed about it and all the rest of it. If you get them on their own and you really talk to them and you say, were you happy in that? Did you find contentment in that? Did you have lasting peace in that? Have you never had hanging over your head a sense of something foreboding? A dreadful time that is awaiting you? And I would be very, 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 very surprised if there was a person speaking truthfully, just one who said, no, never had that. Always been contented in my life of crime. I doubt it. I doubt it very much. It's the child in Christ who honours and who obeys their parents, who enjoys their life, however long or short it is. Why do they enjoy it? Well, they enjoy it, and this is where I finish, they enjoy it because they have the peace of God. They're in Christ, so they have peace with God. But because they're obeying the command of God, because they're doing these things that the Lord tells them to do, they have the smile of God as well, so they know His peace. They have a sense of His peace. They have a sense of His presence, as it were. A sense of His guiding hand, following them all their days. And afterwards, we sung it in one of our hymns about the darkness of now, afterwards, the bright clouds of glory. They enter into an eternal rest forever with the Lord.